A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Brothers and sisters, since the law has only a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of them, it can never make perfect those who come to worship by the same sacrifices that they offer continually each year. Otherwise, would not the sacrifices have ceased to be offered, since the worshipers, once cleansed, would no longer have had any consciousness of sins? But in those sacrifices, there is only a yearly remembrance of sins. For it is impossible that the blood of bulls and goats take away sins. For this reason, when he came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you took no delight." Then I said, as is written of me in the scroll, "Behold, I come to do your will, O God." First, he says, "Sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings, you neither desired nor delighted in. These are offered according to the law." Then he says, "Behold, I come to do your will." He takes away the first to establish the second. By this will, we have been consecrated through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Here I am, Lord. I come to do your will.
Here I am, Lord. I come to do your will.
I have waited for the Lord, and he stooped toward me, and he put a new song into my mouth, a hymn to our God.
Here I am, Lord, I come to do your will.
Sacrifice or oblation you wish not, but ears open to obedience you gave me. Burnt offerings or sin offerings you sought not. Then said I, "Behold, I come."
Here I am, Lord, I come to do your will.
I announced your justice in the vast assembly. I did not restrain my lips, as you, O Lord, know. Your justice I kept not hid within my heart. Your faithfulness and your salvation I have spoken of. I have made no secret of your kindness and your truth in the vast assembly.
Vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Marcum. The mother of Jesus and his brothers arrived at the house. Standing outside, they sent word to Jesus and called him. A crowd seated around him told him, "Your mother and your brothers and your sisters are outside asking for you." But he said to them in reply, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking around at those seated in a circle, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother."
Verbum Domini.
Ten years ago today, my grandfather, Paul Cecil Hayden, passed into eternal life. And I wouldn't be standing here today if it wasn't for his strong Catholic faith. So I beg you and ask you to pray for the blessed repose of the soul of his soul at this Holy Mass. Eternal rest grant unto Paul Cecil, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon him. May he rest in peace. Amen. May his soul and all the souls of the faithfully departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen. And a beautiful prayer that I often send to our employees after somebody dies in our EW10 family. Lord, do not call your servant to account, for no one can stand guiltless in your presence unless you grant him forgiveness of all his sins. Therefore, we pray that in passing judgment, you will not let your sentence fall heavily on one who is commended to you by the sincere prayer of Christian faith. But with the help of your grace, may this servant, who during life was sealed with the sign of the Blessed Trinity, be found worthy of escaping the doom of your vengeance. We ask this of you who live and reign forever and ever. Amen. Today is the liturgical memorial of St. Thomas Aquinas, Doctor of the Church, angelic doctor. I brought a first-class relic with me to edify us, to have St. Thomas pray for us and intercede for us, to give us light and wisdom. He's such an incredible saint in searching for truth and searching for wisdom and seeing the compatibility of reason and faith, that faith and reason are, you can say, and has been said throughout the tradition, that faith and reason are like two wings that help us to soar to God and to know God. And that the reality is that we can know God. We can know God. And we can ascend the heights of even reason being elevated to the level of faith. But before I mention anything more of him, I'd like to mention today that it's 27 years since Mother Angelica was miraculously healed on January 28th, 1998. A woman named Paola Albertini had been watching Mother Angelica and felt a desire to meet Mother Angelica and to pray with her. And Mother agreed to meet with her after her live show on January 28th, 1998, this day. And within the context of praying the rosary, Paola told Mother Angelica to take her braces off. Now, you have to imagine this. Lady's been wearing braces for 30-plus years, almost 40 years. And there's no muscle left in her legs. There's atrophy in her legs, no strength at all in her legs. And just saying this to Mother Angelica, I'm sure, just stunned her and the sisters. And she'd been wearing these braces for so long. And she'd been wearing them since she had her accident that virtually took her ability to walk. And Mrs. Albertini prayed the rosary in Italian while Mother Angelica prayed in Latin. And this woman had supposedly been receiving visions of the Blessed Virgin Mary since 1986. And she was convinced that Our Lady wanted Mother Angelica to hear a message from her. And that's why she came down to Birmingham. And there were a lot of so-called mystics that would contact Mother Angelica in those days that wanted probably notoriety, wanted to be on her live show and to talk about their own experiences and their own messages. So Mother Angelica was very leery on anybody that would contact her and claim to be a mystic or claim to have some kind of message. But this one, Mother Angelica consented. And during the fourth decade of the Holy Rosary, Mrs. Albertini announced that Our Lady is here. And she shared a message with Mother Angelica that she claims the Virgin Mary had for her. And this is what she said. What joy you give the heart of Jesus, your beloved spouse. Defend the Holy Eucharist even with your life. Yes, Jesus still today is being made a fool of and sneered at. I bless this location. I bless you, my daughter. With so much love, I tell you, don't stop. Go forward for the love of Jesus unperturbed along the way. Jesus traits for you since you were in your mother's womb. Words that this mystic was given by the Virgin Mary for Mother Angelica. It's not divine revelation. You don't have to believe it, obviously. And at some point during the fourth decade of the Rosary, Mother Angelica had a feeling and kind of an impulse that God wanted to touch her, to heal her. And Mother said to the Lord, interiorly, not out loud, Lord, all these years you've used me as a comfort and an example for all the handicapped and the crippled. If you want to change that, it's okay with me. Albertini asked if she could pray for Mother, and she fell on her knees and said a prayer in Italian and requested that Mother Angelica remove her braces from her legs and that the sisters help her walk. Paola led Mother Angelica across the floor like a parent leads a child who's just beginning how to walk. And both legs were going every which way, Mother Angelica said. They didn't have any strength, no muscle. And Mother started to feel warmth in her ankles, and it started to go up her legs. And as she crossed the room, her legs became more stable, and then her balance returned, and she was completely steady. An account says she bounced like a child showing off her new dance steps. Mother Angelica came out of the office brimming with childlike joy and yelled to the security guards, look, no crutches, no braces. Truly miraculous. And I could go on further, but that gives you a little taste. And her healing was undeniable. Even Mother's orthopedist was convinced that this was a miracle. Her doctors saw a withered leg restored. Strength. They saw that atrophied muscle be totally reconditioned. They saw muscular legs with rounded calves, legs of someone who walked often, steadily. The next day, Mother said on Life on the Rock that the purpose of her healing was to increase the faith of the viewers of the network and our employees. That must be said, that whenever miracles happen, and they do often, not always, miracles are meant to increase faith. Not just for the recipient of the miracle, but for the edification and the building up of the people of God. That God is real. And Mother said on Life on the Rock, she said after her healing, "Never in the history of the world has there been such blasphemy, disbelief, error, schism, and cruelty toward the body and blood of Jesus. The Father is going to make up for that, and Our Lady is going to make up for that in a brand new way." So words from Mother Angelica right after her healing. You have to think, this is right before the Shrine of the Most Blessed Sacrament, a year before the Shrine of the Most Blessed Sacrament would open. It's really the crown jewel of Mother Angelica's life, of putting Jesus on the altar enthroned and creating a place that people might come to know, to love, and adore him truly present in the most blessed sacrament of the altar. I found one resource that addressed by St. Thomas Aquinas that addressed miracles very briefly. I thought it was worth mentioning today since we're talking about miracles. St. Thomas Aquinas speaks about miracles in the Summa Theologiae, specifically in part 1, question 105. He asserts that a miracle is an act of God that surpasses the natural order. There are miracles that cannot be explained by the natural order. And they cannot be explained by natural causes either. And they show forth a direct intervention by God. That's a miracle. When they cannot be explained by natural causes, and that there is a direct intervention by God. He emphasizes that miracles are performed not to bypass natural laws, but to reveal God's sovereignty over creation and to increase people's faith. In regard to strengthening faith, St. Thomas says that in the Secunda Secundae, the second part of his summary on sacred theology, that miracles serve a spiritual purpose more than a physical benefit. There's always something more, not just the miracle, not just the healing of body. There's always something more. Miracles are meant to confirm divine truths, inspire faith, and to manifest the mercy of God. And we see this in every miracle that Jesus performed in the New Testament. That it wasn't so much the physical miracle, the healing, but there's a spiritual component, the forgiveness of sins, union with God. Physical healings were meant to signify the power of Jesus to forgive sins. In the Summa Contra Gentiles, St. Thomas asserts that healings can occur in several ways. Instantaneous healings, as when Jesus healed in the Gospels, or gradual healings that defy medical or natural explanations. St. Thomas says that while God has the power to heal all human ailments, miracles are performed in select instances to show forth his power and not to negate human suffering completely. And this makes sense. Suffering wasn't completely taken away from Mother Angelica, from her life. You might say that some suffering was taken away and maybe exchanged for suffering later on. Specifically, when she suffered her cerebral hemorrhage that pretty much sealed her ability to communicate for over 14 years. It didn't take away suffering from her life, but in a specific instance, God intervened and entered in and wanted to show forth his power, not only for her benefit, but for the benefit of all. I remember hearing stories of that particular day when she was healed, and then the days following, how many people were coming to faith, how many people were coming around the network for prayer. And turning to the gospel today, our Lord addresses spiritual family over physical family. We become God's children through obedience to his will. When God's will is chosen in freedom and love, St. Thomas Aquinas, commenting on this passage, says that Jesus doesn't reject his earthly family, but shows that his closest collaborators are united with him by faith. In other words, those who follow God's commandments are part of his spiritual family. Those of us in the body of Christ who live in faith by grace are connected by spiritual family. We may not be of the same family, biological family, but in grace we are one in Christ. We are part of the body of Christ, rooted in grace, and that's more stronger than natural bonds, according to the gospel, the spiritual body of Christ. And we pray for that same humility that St. Thomas Aquinas had in recognizing God's greatness, God's power, God's sovereignty, and his love for truth and a desire to conform our lives to this truth. We pray through the intercession of St. Thomas Aquinas, may you be given an increase of grace, an increase of obedience to God's will, and to follow his commandments. Through the intercession of St. Thomas Aquinas, may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit descend upon you and remain with you forever. Amen. St. Thomas Aquinas, pray for us.